Blog Talk Radio.
Announcements, as we always do at the beginning of these things. So with that in mind, make sure anybody listening here tonight live or in our chat room or in our caller queue, or even if you're listening in archives, make sure you go to www.psychicsgonewild.com, and it's all small letters. It's psychicsgonewild, no spaces. Make sure you enter the holiday gift basket giveaway. And apparently, somebody told me this. I hadn't actually gone to the site. I thought we were going to the contact page. I said, no, they've actually got a page set up for it. So just go there and enter your information, and it's what we're calling our free holiday gift basket giveaway. So So make sure that you go there, and you could be our week's lucky winner, because we are giving away a free gift basket every week through the holidays. And, you know, as far as jobs feel like, they're like box of chocolates, you know, you never know what you're going to get. We have people, authors who have been guests on our show who have contributed their books, people who have contributed their CDs, music stuff. People have contributed energetic jewelry. People have contributed healthy coffee, tea, or whatever. And also, you can win free readings from some of our gifted readers and psychics here. So make sure you go and enter that, and then listen in. Jethro pulls that weekly winner on Fridays between 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you are listening in and you're the lucky winner, call in and say, "Hey, it's me, it's me." We love to have you guys on air with us. So anyway, and if you hear it in archives, if you don't get to be there live and you're hearing that you're the winner in archives or weekly winner, why, just make sure that you call in. Give him a call at 928-284-0437 and say, "Guess what? I won." And then you can give him your shipping address to ship your stuff out. So that's how that works. We have quite a lineup anymore of different people, talents, and whatever. We've had Amy on with us, and we have our sister show going again, that Psychic Learning Connection. And the call-in number for it is 714-333-3354. This past, we've had some really good topics. Pamela, our Tuesday musical psychic Pamela, has been on. She's on Tuesday nights also. She's here with us on Gone Wild doing readings and angel messages and whatnot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time during the day. And then she comes over to Psychic Learning Connection on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. She has done a couple shows. Let's see, one was on boundaries in relationships, because she's known as our love and relationship psychic, although she does really well with life coaching and finance and business careers, anything. And then she had Gary Loper as one of her guests, and they talked about, oh boy, that topic just escaped me. It's like, I remember it was a really good show, because I went and listened to it, and I was going, wow, this is really good. So that was a good one, and she, that's in archives. And then we've had another one. She was going to have her guest for last night, ended up with some health issues, and so I kind of pinch hit for her there, whatever. And we talked about grief and grief issues, and we had Amy Kavanaugh join us, and she's really big into, you know, working with the hospice people and with widows groups, you know, and grief and all that stuff. And we kind of talked about, you know, grief and grieving during the holidays, and, you know, how do you get through the holidays? So it's like, we're encouraging people. We kind of did part one last night. We're going to do part two next week, and we're just encouraging our listeners to call in and share your grief stories with us. You know, what made it possible, you know, because everybody's experienced loss at different times. What is it that, you know, your best coping mechanisms, what is it that helped you, you know, put one foot in front of the other and get through the day? It's like, so, you know, we want some dialogue on those. It's like, they're not the shows where we do readings, but we do, you know, very interactive thought discussion, that kind of stuff, and just really sharing. And it's a lot of fun. Okay, and then we have, let's see, I do, of course, I'm doing the segment here this evening, and Amy is also with us on Mondays on the Psychic Learning Connection, and then she also is doing a show segment with Jethro on Fridays, and he has a variety of guests. There's people coming up with, you know, different books, different things happening, so all we can do is tell you, you know, call in. It's like, you know, the 773-897-6461, and see, you know, what day and time we're on. Usually, generically, we've got it pretty much down. It's Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. We're on at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, like I say, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is with the Learning Connection, and the Psychic Gone Wild show is actually at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, Sundays is me. We just kind of bounce around, because it really depends on, Jethro put this thing here, so yes. Depends on what time we're going on, and sometimes we have those wild schedules come up, and I'm just going, I just kind of schedule as I go, because I never know what's going to happen on Sunday. So, yeah, anyway, about the Tijuana Brass, you know, whatever that the song about Sundays was. So, anyway, let me think. Oh, yes, Jethro said he would hurt me if I didn't make the announcement about healthy coffee, so I'm going to get your gourmet healthy coffee, tea, or hot chocolate. or even the Nutrafills, you can call 719-289-4907. Leave your name and number, and somebody will call you back with information on how to get those either as gifts or if you like it for yourself, how to get you hooked up to get wholesale prices. You can also call Desiree with that one, is 928-284-0437. So give us a call on Healthy Talks. I don't know if he's still doing your readings. There's a while there where, you know, he had a thing going where if you either, you know, like bought a box copy or signed up, you know, to do it wholesale, he would do a certain, you know, like a short reading, a mini reading for people. So I'm not positive if he is still doing that. That's one of those specials that kind of bops in and out. Depends on what month it is. So anyway, with that in mind, I am just doing card readings tonight here. It's like I had the possibility. I thought I might have a guest coming on, and apparently things didn't work out in their schedule, so it was one of those kind of tentative last-minute moments. So you got me here doing card readings, and I am going to go to our phone lines. And our first caller here is area code 864-864. You're on with us. Oh, my goodness. Hello?
Hello?
864, you are on live with us.
Yeah, I am.
You're having a good time there. Oh, so how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What I do and how I do it is this is a card system that is based on your birthday. So what I need to get from you is your month and day of your birth, and I can tell you what your cards are, and we'll just kind of go from there. And then if you've got any specific questions, I'll see if I can answer them. And if I can't, I will recommend you on to one of our other people who might have some more insights.
Okay, my date of birth is February 4th, 1994.
February 4th. All righty. Oh, that's a good one. Mine's the 7th, I know. That's a very good month. I know right away that you're a spades person. Let's see, the fourth. Oh, cool. You are an eight of spades is your birth card, and you have a planetary ruler that is the three of spades. Right off, I can tell you that the eights are the power cards of the deck. So whatever the name of this one ends up being, it's like, you have a lot of power at your disposal to really, you know, kind of do what you would like to do in this life, which is really awesome. Okay, and let's see, because I always forget these. I'm going to give you your celebrity birthdays here first. Some other people who are eights of spades with you are Dr. Seuss, as in Theodore Geisel, David Brenner, John Bon Jovi, Alice Cooper, Carl Sandburg, Dan Quayle, Rosa Parks, Mikhail Gorbachev, Dennis Savard, Lawrence Taylor, and Tom Wolfe. So, got quite a variety of people there who share your eight of spades. And it's called the power in work card. It's the eight of eights, the power card of the power cards. The eight of spades has the heaviest burden and obligation to use your power for good. All of you are tempted to take that power and use it sometimes to escape from your fears, avoid facing yourself from time to time. But basically, you're here to work and really make a contribution, especially as an Aquarius. Ultimately, this must take priority over your romantic life. Isn't that nice to know? You are the workers and sometimes the workaholics of the deck. It's like you really, you know, you get going on something that's like a freight train going down the track. Your power is expressed through action and the force of your indomitable will. It would seem natural that those with the greatest power at their disposal would be the most likely to abuse it, although not necessarily true. There's always a high side and a low side of this card. Merely having the gift of such power could be, you know, kind of a justification. I can use it any way we choose, but that's not always a good choice. You might think, well, if I'm given this power, it must mean that I'm to use it and that I'm right. It's like, okay, not quite. And if you do that, the eights, any of the eights, for that matter, suffer from the results of actions based on that misconception. So it's like you're given power to be able to use it wisely. And we all know that, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you just want to be really aware of that. Spades take us into the spiritual realms, though most spade people cannot unrivet their attention from material gain and mastery. Success is almost easy for you as long as you're willing to work for it. And one of the things I say is think of a garden spade, and I'm not talking roto-rooter, you know, thing that you go out there rototiller. that you go out and fire up the gas engine. I'm talking the old-fashioned spade out there on your hands and knees and using the spade to turn the soil. So it's that kind of work. When you're willing to work for it, you know, the benefits will come back to you. Because you know that you possess great power, the test comes in how you choose to use it. If, again, if you work from that lower sense of values or if you operate from your what's called your fear pattern. Oh, that was the other one. We had a discussion on fear. It's like false, I think it's expectations and appearing real. Anyway, but, you know, you can use that power to avoid the truth and you destroy yourself. So you don't want to be coming from a fear spot. You need to be admired. You work hard for admiration and respect. You make good providers, and often you try to marry those also who are of means. You're one of the few cards that always seem to come out on top financially when your marriages end, if you know if it does. You can handle obstacles, which often serve as a measure of your true abilities. You've got a profound healing power, and if directed, can transform the lives of those people you meet. Part of your life challenge involves developing a more positive attitude about life amid the changes that life is sure to bring our way. And there's another of those famous quotes, it's make a friend of change because it's the only thing that's constant in life. Study of spiritual subjects always brings healing and more personal freedom. Now, with relationships, you're actually one of the more emotionally grounded cards in the deck. You usually do not have the indecision or restlessness that affects so many of the other cards in the deck. It gives you a better than average chance of success in marriage or committed relationships. But sometimes you're just, you know, you're not quite there where you need to be emotionally. Sometimes, you know, you kind of, your emotions are kind of dragging back there, and it's like you're trying to bring them forward. It's, you know, kind of like think of the donkey that won't lead forward. It takes some time for you to understand the workings of love as well as you understand how to work. So, you know, it's like if you can get that, you know, because you know how to work, you do, and you have a really good work ethic. And if you can get your emotional stuff to the same level that you understand work, you're gonna be really, really gold there. You tend to take an intellectual or sometimes a concept-based approach to love, you know, romance and marriage, and you learn by trial and experimentation. Your work is usually a major theme in your life, but you also seem to have love on your mind, sometimes more than others would suspect. You're attracted to those with whom you have great communication, and you respect those who are of higher intelligence. You often find the person you're looking for while you're on the job. Many of you form working or financial partnerships with your mates. Finances seem to be an important issue in your choice of a mate. Your practical side tells you that being with someone who has more money is better, and, you know, in the awful, you often follow that, you know, that kind of rule in your choices. Well, with so much power at your disposal, a lot of times you find out that that same power can ruin a delicate balance that's required in a loving relationship because, as a female, sometimes you got a lot of power, and it's like you're going to need a guy that's able to handle that without getting defensive, without getting, you know, intimidated by it, that kind of stuff. And if you are aware of your own personal fears, you're going to have a lot more success in personal relationships because we all have fears, and again, that's I went back to that. Let's see, and your planetary ruler, oh, that was the Three of Spades. And that one, interestingly enough, this is kind of like a facet of this, is gives you a lot of creative energy because the threes do that. But the threes also give you some indecision bit. It may result in your becoming an artist of some kind. You know, you may be artistically inclined, whether it's, you know, cake decorating or rock laying or whatever. You know, there's always art to be found in any job that you do. It's just that creativity. You do need to know, however, it's one of the cards that, again, you only attain success through hard work. Spades is about hard work. Without it, your creativity will be wasted on stress, indecision, uncertainty, and worry. Sometimes there's unexplainable health concerns that can dominate your attention from time to time, especially if you're really work-oriented. It's like sometimes you don't take care, you know, as good a care of yourself as you should, okay? You know, you get on a work roll there, and it's like you just kind of forget. I mean, and I understand this because, you know, you can. There's times, especially when you're younger, you can go for days without sleep. maybe not without any sleep, but, you know, you can get by, oh, I got 3-4 hours tonight, I'm fine, I'm on a roll, I got coffee, I'm good. You know, those kind of things. It's like, yeah, eventually it does catch up. But your work brings you peace. At the same time, don't ignore your health in the process. You've got the capacity to work two jobs at the same time, and you've got that really strong romantic streak and needs. If your romantic needs are not met in a current relationship,
you're likely to, you know, end that relationship and go elsewhere. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's like if something is not, you know, happening in a relationship and you've tried, you know, working stuff out and it's not working, then sometimes it's best to, you know, say, we'll part friends. And I know that's an Aquarius thing. It's like you never want to lose your friends. And it's like anybody that you date, you tend to have, you know, this thing is like, well, I still want to be your friend. And sometimes guys especially, what do you mean you want to be my friend? It's like, well, okay, fine. Okay, and with all that said, did you have any questions?
Yeah, I was just kind of confused about, like, what I want to go to school for, like, what I'm destined to, like, do.
Okay, what's your interest in school? All righty, let's see here. See what, you know, because basically you could do good. I mean, you know, this here, you know, it just kind of indicates you could do really good in pretty much anything that you really choose to. And I'm going to say, you know, where's your love at? It's like, what, is there anything that really grabs your interest? Is there anything that's really, you know, near and dear to your heart? Something you have a passion for, something that's like, you know, I just, you know, I feel like I have to do this. Is there anything, you know, like that in your life, or just kind of not so much?
Not so much. I can't really think of anything.
Okay. All righty. Let's see. I'm trying to do the math here. 94, let's see. 4, 14. Okay, so you're 18. Is that right? 18 working on 19, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you just got out of, probably just got out of school this spring, and so I'll say congratulations, because that's a stepping stone. It's like, and now what do you want to go do with the rest of your life? Because really and truly, you're in an awesome place in your life. You've got a lot of choices. You know, and the other thing that sometimes people forget about is just because you start, you're talking to somebody, it took me 13 years to get my four-year degree, okay? I was one of those people that couldn't quite decide what I wanted to do either. So I kept working at, you know, nightclub jobs and hotel jobs and janitor jobs. And I learned a lot of stuff along the way while I was going to school at the same time. And I got a lot of life experience. Like I say, it took me 13 years to get that four-year degree. But, you know, and there's nothing to say that you can't, you know, just because you started to feel the same, that you can't change it. And that's also made people go, like, you know, to university and just go, cut the cord. It's like, I don't know what I want. You know, and you've always got the, I'll say the basics that you have to, you know, you have to have English, a couple semesters of English, they require you to have some history, they want some, you know, political science, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you've always got those introductory courses that you kind of sort of have to get out of the way if you're going to get, you know, that four-year degree. And it's like, you know, it's not really until you hit your junior year that you really start, you know, specializing or get into your field of whatever. And the only exception to that is, you're going to be like a vet tech or, you know, a veterinarian technician or something like that, where you're going to be heavily into, you know, the sciences, that kind of stuff, those you require different prerequisites. So it's like, you know, that's not a general. But if you think you're going into something like that, like business or like teaching or, you know, whatever, I mean, there's so many things to teach, you know, it's like kind of sitting there going, like, what do you like? Because, man, and I understand this because Aquarius, we like everything. It's like I just, you know, my life was just one big curiosity question mark. It's like, because I do, I like everything. I can go with a lot of things, learn a lot of things. Let's see. I'm going to take a look here, just what's been going on for you. Well, that's really interesting. Actually, your long-range card this year was the Four of Hearts. So you were kind of, this is one of those years where you were really kind of, you know, I'll say, looking slow there. And I'm going to see where you're at, actually, because this is, oh, man, this is December. Yeah, you're coming up on a time frame. I think you're going to be in the last cycles of the planetary rulers, which is, yeah, the 13th. Okay. Right now, you're in our planetary rulers, and you're in Uranus period, and that's going to go until December 13th, which we're coming up on really quick. And then you're going to be into Neptune, which is the kind of that ending of your year. Because with this system, with this hard card system, what you do is they go literally from, you know, from your birth date to the next birth date is called your personal year. So it's like that's, it's pretty individualized, you know, for your particular birth date. So being at that, wow, and you've got a lot of stuff with cards going on. You've had a lot of emotional stuff, I'll just say, you know, kind of going on, because you had a Jack of Hearts. First to start out your year in Mercury, it's like you went through some learning stuff there. That was, there's your school stuff there. And then you had the long, okay, in your Jupiter time frame, that would have been in the summer.
an Eight of Hearts and an Eight of Diamonds in Jupiter, which were really fortuitous things. But then you come along here, in Uranus right now, is you've got a King of Hearts and a Seven of Hearts. So that's kind of like, you know, emotional mastery, that kind of stuff that's coming up. Coming into Neptune, you're coming up into this, in December 13th, is going to be the, what's called the Five of Hearts. And it's kind of called the separation card. So it's like, you know, there may be some kind of separation. Either, you know, you may be considering schooling away from home or, you know, moving away from your family, you know, something like that. But interestingly enough, your overall theme for the year was at Four of Hearts, which is stability in love. So it's like you've actually had a lot of love and emotional relationships, you know, stuff, I'll just say stuff going on this year for you. And as far as getting into, I'm really trying to take a look at this and see the who, what, when, where, why, how moments of that eight and seeing what's really, really, you know, what's going to be a good thing for you and see if there is any, you know, anything that's better than another. And it's like, and like I say, as an Aquarius, you know, literally, you know, it's kind of like, and you might, it might be one of those things where, it's kind of like the Whitman chocolate sample. It's like, you know, try some things. It's like, try some things out, because sometimes what you think, you know, you get into something, you go, oh, I think I'll really like this. And you get into it, you know, and you take a couple classes and you go, this is not what it's cracked up to be. You know, and the whole thing is you're never stuck where you're at. Never believe that, because if you believe you're stuck, then you are. But it's just, you know, if you go, you know what, I'm allowed to change my mind. And it's like, okay, I took these, I learned this is not what I wanted. So, you know, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go back, keep working as a maid or whatever, and I'm going to take a different class, and I'm going to try some different things out. Okay, a lot of physical willpower. A lot of success has indicated that you can overcome obstacles that appears in your way. Power comes from focusing your will and that narrowing down the areas of your interests. And it's like it's absolutely hard for Aquarius people, but because of that, we often lose focus in less important areas while we gather force in another one. Just kind of really, really looking and really thinking about this, but it's called the success and accomplishment in work and health. Using of force and willpower. You know, I'm just going to say, you know, whatever you choose to work at, you're going to be, you know, you're a good worker, you're a hard worker. It's like, you know, that's, you have a good workout ethic. And I don't know, you know, like I say, are you interested, like, in the health sciences? You know, are you interested, like, say, in, you know, nursing or a dentist technician or, you know, animal doctor? It's like, you know, what kind of things are you really interested in that you even think you're interested in?
I mean, I was thinking about doing nursing or, like, physical therapy.
That's okay. There you go. That would be a good area. And I know there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that necessary, because anymore, it's like, I know there's a lot of soldiers coming back that they don't necessarily, you know, have spaces and places for them. It's like there's a lot of guys that have a need for that, and that certainly is a need in our day and age, and with an older population. So that's actually that would be a really good field. I know it's heavily in the sciences, you know, so if you're a good science student, it's, you know, because you have to learn stuff about body mechanics and, you know, that kind of stuff, a lot of science classes, but, you know, and then kinetics, it's like, you know, how the body moves, how to make things, you know, shape up and that kind of stuff. But you've got some, you know, talent with, like, say, with that eight, with the health and healing, it's like you've really probably got a talent that, you know, if you choose to focus that in that area, I'll say you'll be very good at it, because you've got some other, I'll just say, some angelic helpers along the way. It's like you're one of those people that they could be what's called a healer, okay? So, and that certainly physical therapy would definitely fall into that category. What I might suggest, actually, for, you know, for some of the, I'll say, the intuitive stuff and the look forward on this is, do you have time during the day? Because if you've got time, I'm trying to even remember today's, what is today? Wednesday? Yes, okay. Tomorrow night, same time, Jethro and I'm trying to think, I think it's going to be Dina Flanagan that's going to be on with him. Why don't you call in with them and just see what kind of intuitions they have, and just see if they have you know, any directions. It's like, you know, what I would say with that is, like, you know, follow your love, because there's a book out there that's called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. So, you know, if physical therapy is what you think you want to get into, I would say go for it. Go for it and do that and, you know, see how you like it. And like I say, if you get into it and it's not exactly what you thought it was, or, you know, thought what you wanted to do, it's like you can always change your major. You just can't. There's nothing set in stone that says you can't. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
All righty. You betcha. But do call back tomorrow and, you know, pose that same question then, because we're one of these shows that's like we have no call-in limit. It's like we have people that call in on a daily basis. You know, we don't always get to them, but, you know, it's fun, and we're here to listen and help out where we can. So call us back.
All right. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you for calling in. Okay. And our next caller here is from area code. Well, let's see. All right. This is going to, it looks like my Firefox, the wolf fox is chasing its tail around. Here we go. Okay. Area code 229. You are on with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I have a question.
Sure.
It's a lot of stuff that's been, like, going on, like, a lot of bad things that happened, and I was just wondering, like, what's next for me, like, what's coming up?
What's coming up in your near future, okay? Well, let's see. The way I work is I need a month and a date, just, and I'll tell you what your birth cards are, and we can kind of look at it from there and see if there's anything there. So what's the month of day for me?
August 22nd.
August 22nd. Okay. Now, you are right on the cusp. You are on the cusp between, let's see what it is. That is Leo and Virgo, I believe. So do you know for sure, are you a Leo person or are you a Virgo person? Or have you ever had that chart done?
I'm a Leo.
You're a Leo. Okay. All right. You are a four of clubs in, which is really, and anything I'm going to tell you, because Leos have no separate planetary ruling card, so you are like a double four of clubs here. So this will be really interesting. But your life path and positions and stuff, learning, which means that, you know, you're a really good student. It's like basically anything that you choose to learn and choose to put your attention at, you can do. It's like I will say that you probably absolutely surprise people with that. It's called the card of mental satisfaction, and it's a card of stability. The underlying five, you've also got a five of spades, indicates some restlessness that can manifest in a lot of ways. You're really progressive. You can utilize that to create new ideas and a chosen line of work. But rather than let that restlessness keep you from, you know, achieving any success, you know, you can use that and put it, you know, put it to good work for you. Use that creatively. You know what you know. You're not likely to change your mind on anybody else's behalf unless you see the value of that for yourself. People might call you stubborn at times. You're fond of arguments, since a lot of times you win, and you usually do well in legal matters. You've really got a good constitution health-wise. You're not afraid of hard work. It's a very successful card. You're good at sales work. You enjoy talking about what you believe in. You're popular, you do well in groups, and as long as you don't let that love of debate, you probably did really good debate in high school, as long as you don't let that get out of hand, you keep a really fine reputation in your work. But also, on the flip side of this, you want a successful love life, and that's one of your major life challenges. Often the dragon combination of this four of clubs at max, a desire to be accepted by others, and ironically, it's that same acceptance that sometimes you find difficulty giving yourself. Okay, the easy and quickly for me to sum that up is, you know, the two great commands Christ gave us was to, you know, love your God first, with your whole heart, mind, soul, spirit, and strength. The second was love your neighbor as you love yourself, because on those two commands hangs all the laws and prophets. So a lot of times, within yourself, you don't necessarily value yourself enough, but it's like sometimes you don't respect yourself enough, okay? It's like you really need to get good with that, because anytime in a relationship, what's going to, you know, pretty much be brought in is going to be mirror image of how you are loving yourself. If you're loving yourself in a really good positive way, you're going to bring in that really good positive, you know, love relationship. And it's like if you're kind of beaten up on yourself, you're going to likely to attract somebody who, you know, not I'm not going to say physically beat up on you, but it's like, you know, they might not respect you or, you know, treat you good, you know, treat you as good as you really need to be. So it's like relationships for you are a lot about how you see yourself and how you're loving yourself, okay? With work, let's see. Yeah, last years of your life are often most successful. You usually end up with
good finances or some financial protection. Collectively, you're known as the fours of clubs are known as the keepers of knowledge, because you show us that information has practical value and that we can really be happy and successful by applying what we already have. Some of the issues in relationships, it can manifest in a lot of ways, you know, because we've always got a free will. No matter what I say or anybody else tells you, you know, you've always got, it's just like being at a stop sign or, you know, a traffic light sign. You stop and you have, you know, three options. You can go forward, you can make a right-hand turn, you can make a left-hand turn, or you can make a U-turn and go back the way you came. You know, you always got these options. So it's like whatever anybody tells you, you know, you have the ability to change what anybody tells you because you got that free will. But you've really got this need for affection. It's a major issue in your life combined with that restlessness, and sometimes you have a fear of commitment, ironically. And it's like, or if it's not your own fear, you tend to attract people who have a fear of commitment. So it's like if you're not afraid of commitment, you can draw in people who do have commitment issues. So just, you know, just be aware of that, okay? It's not true for all of you. It's like your basic karma in love is really good. If you can find a partner that appreciates a little space, okay, and I'll just say that. Kind of think of like plants that can get root bound if you leave them in the pot for too long type of thing. You know, you don't want to grow together so close with somebody that it stifles both of you from growing. It's like plants always do better with a little bit of space so the roots can spread out, and so too with people. You've got a Jack of Spades in Venus that tells that you need to watch for a tendency to be attracted to people of, we'll just say what they call low reputation or morality. It's like they're not on the high road, okay? And if you're choosing to operate out of that side, that can be not a good thing, okay? You can attract people into your life who are like that. So just, you know, really be careful with that. A lot of you are drawn to artists or others in creative fields. But, again, those can be the ones with really, I'll say, questionable characteristics, okay? That same Jack of Spades can be expressed on a higher level as attraction to those with a more spiritual perspective on life. And those relationships usually fare far better. Now say that, let's see there, and I said, is it being a Leo, it's like, and I know personal appearances mean a lot to Leos. I've got a Leo son, so it's like, believe me, I think he was more into clothes than my daughter was. but that Four of Clubs is a planetary ruler. It's, you know, kind of the same thing. This is going to give you a little more oomph on this. It gives you a really logical and fixed mind, capable of learning things and becoming really grounded in that knowledge. You're going to be good at whatever you do, regardless of what your occupation or job is. You also have a good deal of commercial ability. You get progressive ideas that can benefit your chosen line of work. You have an inner restlessness that is going to cause some challenges for you. Sometimes you just never quite feel satisfied with what you're doing or, you know, who you're with or where you're living, you know, otherwise. So, you know, you might be one of the people who end up changing, you know, like I've known people who you go over their house, like, you know, once a week and their furniture is different every time. So it's like that's that changeability and that restlessness. You know, you may not be moving every week, but you're moving something every week, okay? Travel is kind of healing to your soul. It brings fresh experiences that kind of lighten that disposition. And you benefit from staying with one thing for a long time and really developing it to its fullest potential. So that's what I got there for tonight. It's like, I know you'll be, well, let's see, there's a little bit more here on the love life because of that Jack of Spades and that Venus position. You're predisposed to having relationships with those who are, you know, like I said, you tend to attract people who are, I'll say, less than on the up and up sometimes, okay? You just really have to watch that because it's called the card of the actor and the thief, and it's also the card of the spiritual initiate. A lot of times you're found with people who are musicians or artists or actors or, you know, somewhat kind of questionable characteristics or motives, you know, something like that. So even, but, you know, but even when you're happily married, Four of Clubs just, you know, be somewhat, I'll say, aware of your mates, okay? They give an example here. One Four Clubs woman was happily married for 30 years and her husband died. And then after his death, she found out for over 20 years he'd been having affairs with other women, but he had so cleverly disguised that she never once suspected it. So it's, you know, it's that kind of thing that, you know, really they can sometimes get away with doing things, and you don't have an idea, you know. And it's, I'm not saying you'll be overly suspicious, but it's like just it's called awareness. Just have an awareness there, okay? All right. Well, that's about what I got for you tonight. I do know Pamela Cummins tomorrow is, or no, not tomorrow. Shoot, this is Wednesday. This is Thursday. Sorry about that. Pamela Cummins on Tuesday is our love and relationship, I'll say, specialist. It's like, you know, she specializes in that. But Jethro and Dina are also going to be on tomorrow night at the same time. Same number, 773-897-6461. So if there's something there that I haven't answered, which is like, you know, that's kind of all I got for you, you know, right now. Call back in, because there is no limitation on, no limits. It's like we're not one of the shows where they say, oh, you can only call in. You know, somebody told us, oh, they only let us call in like once every 3 weeks. It's like, not this place. It's like, you can call in every day if you want to. Because we have different people on every day, and you can get a different reading every day. Although what we call it is different pieces of the puzzle, because sometimes, you know, different psychics, intuitives, you know, card readers, it's like they have different abilities. And it is, it's literally like getting a different facet. You know, like diamonds have a lot of different facets. It's like a different look at the same part of the puzzle. So I would encourage you.
Okay.
So was there anything in particular you had, baby? Any particular question? Because I'm kind of like going, well, I'm not sure I could answer anything, you know, at the moment. But did you have a specific question or not?
No, I like what you said, so I'm good with that. Thank you.
All righty. Sounds good. Thank you so much for calling in. Like I say, and call back and get another piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
We have a fun time.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. And we have, oh boy, and we have a slow working computer tonight. This thing is going to be like Firefox chasing its tail. Okay, here we go. And we have area code 207. 207, you are on with us.
Hi, it's Dina.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
Hi.
My goodness, I'm sorry.
No, Jethro said to call in tonight. I said, okay, I'll call.
Okay. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was like, I was on, it's like, and he told me that you were going to be coming on with him on Thursday, so I was just like, okay, I figured I was going this alone tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing Thursday, too, as far as I know.
Oh, cool. Oh, so you get, oh, good. Yay, so I get to work with you, too. All right, this will be fun. Oh. Well, shoot. Well, how was your days and times going? I haven't talked to you for a while. We've just been...
I know.
Have you heard the expression, busier than a one-legged man trying to put out a forest fire?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopping around
really
and like,
crazy.
That's what we... Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever find that check or whatever it was?
Yeah, I did. You know, I actually did. It was cash. We had lost an envelope.
Oh, cash,
or
right.
Cash. It was $375. And, you know, we kept looking. And I was just like, I was just, you know, drawing a blank. And, you know, so one day Jethro says, he says, Zeri's the key to it. He says, Zeri knows where it's at, you know, where it's at or something like that. And I was like, really? He says, yeah. He says, just, you know, work with him. So I was like, okay. So we get off the call Zeri, just my 10-year-old. And I says, okay, Jethro tells me that you know where it's at. He looks at me like a deer in headlights. He goes, and I said, start talking to the guys on the other side. Let's find out. So he sits there. He's okay, Mom. So he sits in for a while, and he comes in and he starts scanning the room. It's like, you know, and he says, "Well, it's here. It's here someplace." He says, "I know it's here. I know it's here." It's like, okay, well, you know, poke around. I don't care. He did. He found it, and I had forgotten. We had this little jar. It was like I bought it just, you know, kind of as a whim, and it counts the coins for you as you put them in the savings jar thing.
Huh?
I had stuffed them in there for safekeeping so I wouldn't forget them or lose them.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was locked for almost a month. It was like my mind blanked out on me because I totally forgot I put it there.
So
he goes,
that's
here it is, Mom. I'm like going, yeah.
That's why the school papers kept coming to me, because your son is a schoolie.
Well, it was next to. It was what it was next to. Because we had some stuff that where it was located was by, you know, you said the yellow papers, and I was like, and sure enough, they were there.
Yeah.
<You're> on.
Wow.
It was good.
Awesome.
I know.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't get to hear the end of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Schottenheimer. Well, rats. I wish I'd realized you were in Cuba earlier, because instead of having them call back, well, you know what? You got two young ladies I think you're going to talk with tomorrow night.
Wow. I heard a few of those.
Oh, and right now we have nobody else. We have nobody in queue right now. It's like this is just one of the really quick. I could say, hey, Gigi, in chat, call in, talk to us.
Yeah. Well, how long is the show tonight? Till when?
Let's see. Well, actually, we have 14 minutes left.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, I just got back from class, and I'm calling in. I'm listening. I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, now that I know that.
No, it was nice to be the listener.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I don't think I've done your cards. It's like, would you care if I?
No,
you care
haven't.
If I, oh, cool. Okay, so what's your month and day? Do your cards.
My month and birthday. October 11th.
October. Ah, Libra person or Libra. Is it Libra or Libra?
Libra.
Libra. Yeah, that's me too. I mean, I've heard people call it Libra, and I just kind of go, oh, I know it's Libra.
Yeah.
Okay. October 11th, you're a jack of clubs, and you've got a seven of spades as a planetary ruler. So let's see what jack of clubs people are all about here. You guys are the jacks. Well, you're part of the royal house or the part of the royalty there. Celebrity birthdays that you share. Other jack of clubs people are people like Donald Sutherland, Howard Hessman, who is also an, I'm trying to remember, I remember him, I can't remember what he was in. Lee Majors, I remember him, $6 Million Man. Ben Affleck, yeah. Tom Selleck, I remember him. And Jillian, Diana Carroll, Ellen Burstyn, I'm not sure if she is, Gina Rowlands, these are all, Hedy Lamarr, Sarah Jessica Parker, Shirley Temple Black, okay, Shirley Temple and became Ambassador Black, Joyce DeWitt, Catherine Ross, Kathleen Turner, Valerie Bertinelli, I remember her. Okay, Joan Cusack,
yeah.
Ralph Nader, a consumer advocate. Aretha Franklin, Elton John is a jack of clubs. Howard Cosell, speaking of sports, and Oprah Winfrey is also a jack of clubs, and so is so these are all your, some of the, well, not all of your, but some of the famous people that you're affiliated with there. And the jack of clubs is called the mentally creative card. Description of the jack of clubs person, and don't take offense with this. It's like, because they do both sides of the card, okay? It's like, you know, there's always that high side and there's a low card. It says creative, dishonest, or a mixture of both. Well, in your case, I know it's, you know, you're on the up and up, all of us over here. As we can imagine, those who are the most creative can also be the most dishonest, and vice versa. The jack of clubs is a card of mental and financial creativity. You're energetic, you're productive, your brilliant minds are far ahead of the common person in society. You are truly the people of the Aquarian age, being neither, now it says neither male nor female, but it's like, and I don't think they mean androgynous, but it's just like you're progressive. You're on the cutting edge of evolution of our society. You look at things with a very analytical mind, okay? And especially as a Libra, it's like you're always doing that balance. You know, that's why they say neither male nor female. It's like, of course you're in a female body. Hello.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you've got one of the finest minds in the deck. You can always make a good living with it. You usually get involved in something entrepreneurial, which there you go. And that just says the men more often than the women. But, you know, hey, if your work allows you some creative expression, you can find your groove, think Denver's new groove, and really enjoy it while making a great deal of money at the same time. You are mentally brilliant, but often fixed and prone to arguments. Sometimes that's represented by that two of clubs. The two of clubs is called the argument card in Mars. You usually cannot see it's your own love of debate that's the cause of many of your disagreements with others, huh? So sometimes you debate when you can, and or you'll debate us when you can, and you always enjoy the mental exercise.
Yeah.
Okay. Your own fixed mind sometimes get in the way of your seeing the truth, but it also gives you the capacity to finish what you start and to stand up for what you believe in. I just saw the Aristocats, you know, you remember little Marie says, ladies do not start fights, but they can finish them. As members of the royal family, you dislike pettiness. You tend to be somewhat impatient with the failings of others. You need respect and a position that allows your brilliant minds free rein to create and explore. You're never at a loss for ideas. And I will say, you're one of those people that should carry around that little, you know, spiral-bound notebook with a pen and write down those ideas and a datum. Don't
censor them. Just do the think tank brilliant moment, okay? Because you're going to come back at some point and go, wow, that's a great idea. But you're never lost for ideas, and some of them are going to bring you huge financial returns. Okay, now that was the high side. On the low side, they can be irresponsible, some cases dishonest. You can see things from so many levels that sometimes things are not really right or wrong. It's just another way of looking at things. And you can make up a story so quickly and so believable, you can explain, you know, away practically anything. However, and you've learned this karmically, I'm sure you're probably born with this, but you don't get away with much because Saturn's hand always reminds you of the boundaries that keep you balanced and fair. Trouble, you know, if you start believing the own, you know, if you, people, and I've seen people do this, you start believing their own stories, okay, you depart from reality a little bit too far, you create a lot of hardship before you get back on the path.
You're
a really good giving person. Even if you are argumentative, sometimes you're loving, you're friendly to all you meet. And in relationships, such a strong and fixed mental approach to life can have its share of challenges. Mental approaches don't always work good in the realms of love. Gee, I wonder why not. You analyze the relationship to death. However, these people, you know, you don't have particularly bad karma in that area. You need someone who is your friend first and who will allow you the freedom to be yourself. And if you have that, you're faithful, you're devoted. Women or excellent companions, you often have to contend with the ill health of a loved one, a mate or a family member, or sometimes your own health problems become a prominent theme in your relationships. In a lot of cases, your health issues are related to some emotional cause, whether it's family or lover related. Female Jack of Clubs have a karmic bond with all diamond males. Diamonds is a girl's best friend, there you go. Though some are easier than others. You know, you could have it easier with men of the club suit. That's some interesting things there. Let's see, and the other part of that was, let me see, the Seven of Spades, and the sevens are the cards of faith. It's like, you know, you're here to take that leap of faith into stuff and really, you know, really give it a go and go, God's going to catch me. It's like he gave me a parachute and I just get it on. Okay, you don't find that out until after you take the leap, though. And it says, it adds strength to your personality. It gives you a certain amount of good fortune, especially in the areas of home and family. You might feel you have either a blessed marriage or relationship or that many good things have come from your parents. Health concerns may play a major role in your life, and you may be accident prone. Think of Archie in the comics, okay? Seven of Spades encourages us to have faith in life in spite of whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in. In that regard, you might find yourself tested many times. You probably are probably attracted to those of intelligence and wit, and with a bit of luck, you could marry one of those. Financial security is something that only comes through hard work. And anything they say about the spades is, think of a garden when you're thinking of spades, people. And we're not talking rototiller. We're talking about the hand spade out there on your hands and knees. And a lot of times it doesn't work. Success comes when you're. Oh, and we have another caller here. So guess what? You get to take this one, Dina. Here we go. 773. Thank you. Or, I'm sorry. 732. Oh, geez, I can't even read numbers tonight. 732, you're on with us. 732? Can you hear us? Can you hear me now? 732. You're live with us. We're live on air. Would you like Dina to do a reading for you? And this might be somebody who's on mute or something. I'm not sure. You know what? I'm going to leave this on just for the heck of it.
Hello? Sorry. I don't know what just happened.
There we go. You know what? I bet your finger accidentally pushed the mute button like that. It happened to my cousin. It's like she called me one time. She says, you couldn't hear me. I says, I know. And she says, I finally figured out I had muted my phone. I was like, oh, man.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, over here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello.
I
just wanted to know, I've had some ups and downs in the past year with a relationship, and I just wanted to know what you saw happening for that.
Okay, what is your name?
Leanne?
Okay, and the other person's name?
Matt.
All right. Well, I'm feeling like that you two brought together two learn something at the moment. This will carry you forth. What I'm hearing is this will carry you forth into a better relationship, is what I'm hearing. Are you not sure? Like, I'm feeling you're not sure you want this. Is this true?
We're not together right now.
Yeah.
We've been, like, he's been somebody I've loved for the past 3 years, and, like, I do want this, but I just don't know what's going to happen with it. I love who he is as a person. Like, the point we're at in our lives is a little different.
Yeah, but I'm still feeling like there's still question. I hear question in your mind. Like, you want it, but you're not sure because you don't want more of this. Is what I'm hearing,
yeah.
You know.
And I just don't know how he feels anymore, how he really honestly feels anymore.
Right. What I'm feeling for him is I'm feeling like that he's kind of tired. What I'm feeling is tired. Almost like given up. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like he's kind of given up. And he is going through some own personal stuff, too. Is that true?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like between this relationship and between what he's going through, it's overwhelming, and that's where the tired comes in. Like, it's taking every bit of his energy. So he really, his focus isn't on, like, the relationship per se or you or what have you. His focus right now is more on trying to figure out where he wants to go. And what he wants to do about everything, because he doesn't really like the struggle or whatnot that's been going on between you two, and he in ways doesn't know how to fix it or change it, is what I'm feeling and hearing. And so right now it's just not something he can bring to the forefront. It's not something he has an answer for. It's not something that he has the strength for. And so and when I first started out this, I said there's something for both of you to learn through this. You're still learning. There'll still be some more learning involved in this. I don't think you're completely done, but I feel it needs to take a break or take a rest for now. And in this break or this rest, he needs to figure out what it is that he really wants, because until he figures out what it is he really wants, he can't give you what you want. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? And so it would be very detrimental if it was to, like, get back together at this moment or carry on. So I feel like there'll be some pause or some break, and then it won't be for a while that you'll be able to probably figure things out. And while he's figuring his out, you also have to figure your stuff out. Because I'm feeling like even though you kind of want this, it's not right for a reason. And you need to work on those things that's not working.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm hearing that there's some issues that you have to work on. And when he works on his and you work on yours, with some time in between, there is a chance for it. But then,
right.
you know, we all have free will. So that's the only way there's going to be a chance for it, if you know what I'm saying. So you need to just let it, give it a break, work on your things, and he work on his for now is what I'm hearing. And then things will have a fresher perspective.
And do you see, like, I don't know if you're able to, or, like, you see this working with him or someone else? Because I am getting, like, a little bit older, and I am looking to, like, settle down into something more serious, but I just didn't know, like,
I'm just going to put one word. They've hammered one word to me is communication. Oh, we got 60 seconds. Shoot. There's something really important with communication with you guys, with either communicating what you really feel and really want, or, you know, but again, I think that's what Dina is saying about, you know, you've got to know yourself before you can know the other person. It's all
okay.
about communication.
Yes, and that's the stuff you have to work on, because until you get there, not any one guy will work. Not him, not anybody.
Okay.
So, but you can get there. Just put your mind to it, and and know that these are the things you have to work on in yourself, and that's the only thing you should be concentrating on right now, not what guy or when that's going to happen, because when you do those, that piece, it will come in naturally, flowing.
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All righty. And thank you for calling in. And make sure you go and register for the holiday gift basket. Yeah, we have like 10 seconds, you know. I wanted to see, because I was nosy. It's like I was like going, okay, you just got out of your Mercury time frame, because that started with your birthday. You see, with this card system, you have like you have a personal year. It goes from your birthday to your birthday. So you just got into your Venus time frame, because that started December 2nd. Your Mars time frame starts on like January 24th. The Jupiter time frame for you begins March 7th, or sorry, January 24th, yeah. Jupiter is March 17th. Saturn time frame starts May 8th. Uranus time frame starts June 29th. And your Neptune time frame starts August 20th and goes to your birthday. So right now you're in your Venus time frame. And I might be real nosy and say, what year is it for you? How many years are you on this planet? I hate to ask. It's like, how old are you this year?
I just turned 51.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so your long range card this year, is a Two of Spades. And what you just came out of your Mercury time frame, you had a Five of Diamonds and a Ten of Spades. And then what you've got coming into Venus, is a Seven of Spades and a Six of Spades.
Yeah,
Seven of Spades is the card of Spades, like the card of Spades. And the Six of Spades is the card of Karma. So it's like you've got Spades and Karma coming in Venus. And I'm sitting here going, let's see, what is this going to bring for you this year? Your long range is a Two of Spades. So it's like, and you've got, I can't believe how many, you've got like, you got a Ten of Spades as a displacement card. You got a Five of Spades as your Pluto card. That's changes. You've got a Four of Spades as a, in your Saturn
whole,
time frame. You've
the
got
whole
a, you do. It's like really, it's like if you were playing poker, you'd have you'd have a flusher at the very least.
Yeah,
Two of Spades in Jupiter. There's like nine, and you got a Nine of Spades in March. And I'll say Nine of Spades is about the ending. So I'll talk to you about that. But yeah, this the Seven and the Six. I want to look this up really quick, even though I'm not sure that we're on air, off air, whatever we're at here. But it's like I want to do. I'm curious. I'm sorry, I'm eating up with my own stuff here. It's like shoot.
Yeah.
So that was the Seven and then the Six in Venus. Now the Seven in Venus. It's health and work problems. It's learning to practice faith. That's really interesting. It can indicate an illness connected with too much, I don't think you're into too much partying, a romantic involvement, or a lady friend, I don't think so, unless you have a girlfriend that you're running around going to parties with. It's like you guys are trying to pick up on guys or something, I don't know. But there could be an illness of a close friend or a lover or family member that presents challenges now as well. It's possible, whatever the specifics, your inner attitudes or habits are at the root of any personal difficulties you're having. So now is the time to really examine your fears about getting enough affection and practice letting others be as they are. Your other Venus card is going to tell you, who or what the emotional or personal challenge is about. Keep in mind that that strong or other powerful Venus card, if it's a 4, 8, or 10, nope, you got the Karma card. Mitigate the adversity of this, because a lot of times the sevens, I'll say the odd number cards are the challenging ones, and the even number cards are more fortunate. But where it's the Six, because the Six is like the fate and karma in action. It is like it's paybacks in the past in many forms. It should be one of steadiness, though, in areas of finances, love, life, and work. You want to create peace in your home and your most intimate relationships. To do this, you might have to make adjustments on behalf of those you love. Learn the art of responsibility in love. The other possibility of that powerful card is that would be that of starting a karmic relationship. It would be like either a fated or destined relationship where one of you owes the other one, from a previous life, and somebody's somebody's returned to either pay the debt or collect the debt. One of those types of things. So, you got some interesting stuff coming up, and you've only been in that since December 2nd started your Venus time frame. So you've only been in here what's today? The 4th, 5th. You've only been it for 3 days, so you've got 49 more days of Venus to go.
Oh, boy.
And what I would like to know is this, I've been dying to ask this question, is because Jethro's been having a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff. He says, what's the energy going on? I said, well, what I know is, it's like I don't know if I got you on Facebook or not, but on the 3rd of December, Mercury, Venus, and I think it was Saturn, all were in alignment with the pyramids in Giza. And they said it only happens once every 2,737 years. So what is the what is the energy with that? Because there's something significant there, and it's like I haven't really had time to do a lot of research on it. Unless I'm just kind of going, do you have anything, you know, like maybe off the top of your head, real quick, that you know that might be about? But it's like the fact that it's that kind of a time frame, and I went, okay, 2,737 years. It's like that adds up to like 7 3 is 10. 17, 18, that's 19, that adds up to 19, which is actually a 1. That's a 10, and it adds down to a 1. So it's like it's a starting of something. So is that a starting of, like, you know, maybe the infamous, you know, Mayan calendar moment? You know, it's like, I mean, I know that's supposed to be the 21st, but it's like, is that like the kickoff, you know, like of the game or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know if you had any information on that or if you've, you know, heard about it.
I don't. I hadn't heard about that one, which is surprising because I'm usually on top of all this stuff.
Wow.
But I know the energy has been really, really intense lately.
Yeah.
And just kind of like everything's flying at you, like you can't even keep up.
I mean, Mercury on the wings, you know, it's like that makes a lot of sense with that. And then the love,
yeah.
You know, Mercury, Venus, and Saturn. Saturn are great karmic challenges.
I haven't had any much on the love
corner.
Mine has been more finances and career.
Yeah. And that's Saturn. That's the Saturnian energies. But it's like, and then he's got, all of a sudden he's got Mercury to back him up, and it's like in your face with it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's been very challenging lately.
You know, I'd say, and that's what Jessica said too. He's like, you know, what in the world is going on? I'm like going, I don't know. I don't know about this planetary alignment. You tell me. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. Yeah. We're both in the dark, man.
Yeah, no, I've been so busy.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been able to read up on it, look up, anything up on it, and it's just been, gosh. I've been like, I feel like I'm out of the loop, like, you know.
You know what? I think there's a lot of us feeling that right now. I totally understand that. And it's like, and I finally just went, okay, you know what? I'm just going to take that as it is. And I'm helping step out of the loop. It's like, I don't go out my door unless I have to. In this case, I have to, because I really needed to go to the grocery store a couple days ago to pick some things up, like, you know, eggs and bread and things like that. We've been eating soup without bread for the last couple days. It's like, hi.
Yeah, no, I've been feeling like hibernating, and yet I can't because I run a business, but I feel like hibernating.
Yeah. See, that's kind of that bear thing. It's like, you know, it's the wintertime. It's like, you know, we're supposed to be in hibernation right now. I understand that totally. I do. But, yeah, if you've run across anything, it's like, you know, either, you know, put it on the, maybe I'll just call in tomorrow night's show and just, you know, throw that question out there. So, if you run across anything, let me know. Because I haven't even, I mean, like I say, I haven't really had time to look. And it's like, but at the same time, it was the only blurb I saw. And I was like going, okay, so what's the significance? It's like, you know, I mean, I haven't seen anything in the Hopi stuff, because I've been looking at all these prophecies and stuff. I've been actually been doing a segment on the Psychic Learning Connection here. There we go.
Yeah.
I've been doing Greg Braden's book, and I found stuff. I found that one of the Hopi, you know, because he talks about the Hopi prophecies, and I found this thing on there, and it showed, I saw for the first time, the prophecy that they had, it's like etched on one of the cave wall moments. And it's like, it's the parallel lines. And it's like, Braden brings into it, you know, the quantum futures and this and that. And it's like, it's two parallel timelines. And he said about two-thirds of the way down, there's this vertical line that intersects them. And it's like he said that the higher line is what they call, the Hopi call, the path of greed, profit, and comfort. And if people are on that high line, and they continue on that after this, you know, intersecting line, it goes forward and it ends in this zigzag thing. And it's like there's bodies with their heads kind of disconnected, it brings confusion and destruction. I was like, that doesn't sound like a good end.
Yeah, right.
Conversely, you know, conversely, the lower road is about stability, love, and strength. And those following that, I said, you know, once they get through, because there's going to be some kind of, you know, time trial period here happening. I was like, okay, so we may end up, you know, doing that geological shift, you know, the polar shift type of thing.
Yeah.
But they said after this time frame, the people who are on that lower line with the strength, balance, and love, and into working with Mother Earth and, you know, this and that, it's like they said they're going to live to be exceptionally old, or, you know, they're going to live really long lifetimes, and their crops are going to produce well. And I was like, cool. I want to see the lower
awesome.
Line. Can I do that? You know, but that's the whole thing about it. It was about choice points. It was about, you know, our quantum realities. And one of the things I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, did you know that Einstein, because, I mean, he's the one that came up, you know, the unified filter, you know, all this stuff. But they said he came to the realization that it's like, because some people say, you know, we have parallel dimensions, you know, like, you know, 8 dimensions or 10 dimensions. He figured out mathematically somewhere along the line that we might have infinite, you know, there's a possibility we might have infinite parallel dimensions. He closed the door on that. He didn't want to contemplate.
Yeah, I've done some of that. Yeah. I've done some quantum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I've done
stuff.
It.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I've done some quantum leaping and jumping to parallel universes. Yeah. It's really fascinating.
I'm beginning to think that that's what happened, you know, and see, and I hadn't really thought of it in that term, but that earlier this summer, when we first came out, it was like in June. Okay, we watched Fiddler on the Roof like every Friday, okay? Well, it was on my daughter's TV. It was on top of her TV on her entertainment center. Was that we had watched it, okay, you know, like 5 weeks in a row, okay, 5 Fridays in a row. It was just parked in one spot on top of her TV constantly. It was always there. So, you know, from 1 week to the next, from week 5 to week 6, we went, it's like I started hunting around for it, and I said, hey, where's Fiddler on the Roof? It's like, we don't know. You know, it's like, so we all started looking. You know, did gravity work? Did gravity work? You know, so we pulled out the entertainment, and we looked behind, we dusted, we did all this. It wasn't there. I was like, okay. So we went without it. I mean, we had another copy of, you know, of my classic collector edition that I didn't want to open, but we did have that down in a seagrass basket, and it's like I got it out. So it really bugged me, though, because I was going, I know I had this. We've had this last week. What in the world happened to it? So about 5-6 weeks later, we're into August, and because this happened in, like, you know, first part of June or July. So we're out there, and it's like we're going to our storage shed, and we had literally, it had taken us like an hour to shuffle stuff out and around, whatever. It's like I was looking for certain school books for the kids and stuff. I opened the top, the one lid on this, and I'll be darned if there wasn't, and we had spent an hour digging this out, so I knew it wasn't something, you know.
Wow.
And there was that Fiddler on the Roof. I was like going, how in the world did it get out there? And it's like, and then I started reading this stuff, you know, about the parallel time dimensions. I went, okay, somewhere along in one of the parallel timelines, somebody had stuck this here, and it's like, and then somehow we transversed back and forth across it. Like, I don't know what happened. But it disappeared. Mm-hmm. It was so weird because it did. It literally disappeared from 1 week to the next. And I know I didn't go out there and dig through stuff for an hour that time and put it in there. I know that.
Yeah, right.
But other people have talked about that and said, oh, yeah, you know, we made a pair of socks, or there were lots of pair of socks, or last night, keys, you know, or whatever. It's like lay stuff down. It's like, and I've done that, you know. It's like I'll walk through and look for something, and it's like, and it's not there. And you go back, you know, maybe an hour later, and I'll be darned, it's right exactly. I was like going,
yeah,
it was a bare spot. Swear to God,
yeah.
It was a bare spot, and it's like, and now it's there. And how did that do that? But that's what they're talking about in that we're doing this, you know, these little parallel dimensional shift things. And it's like, it's really talk about a fascinating study.
Yeah, I know. It is fascinating. It's like, whoa. Yeah,
I would just like to know how to have a little more. I'm not going to say control. Control's an illusion. You know, what is it? We control the illusion that you have confined your world to the point it has limits. Flavius Josephus, you know, first century historian. I realized this a couple thousand years ago. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Control is an illusion. You know, but I would like to know how to be more aware when I'm time jumping, you know, or when I'll say, you know, dimensional shifting or whatever you want to call it. It's like, you know, how in the world do we know when we're doing that? It's like that in itself would be a really good study if we could figure
it
out.
I know, that's just it. You don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, unless you're doing it on purpose.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm consciously trying to do, you know, blah.
Yeah.
Well, and it was like, and what got me into this was some of the stuff, you know, what Braden was saying. I mean, this is his book, The Isaiah Effect, you know, that he published back in 2000. And I mean, I've read it some more. And I'm reading it through again on air this time, and I'm going, man, I'm realizing stuff that I never caught the first three times I read it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that feeling
is
like, oh, my goodness. You know,
yeah.
But all this stuff, and I said, wow, but there's all these, you know, these, what they call these parallel prophecies. Because people are so focused on, oh, you know, the Illuminati and stuff. You know, I said, okay, the basic is, you know, you got two choices. There's the true God and there's everything else, okay? And yes, the Illuminati, they call it, you know, they're the Luciferians, the Satanists, the, you know, the whatever, the New World Order, the blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever you want to call
yeah.
them.
Yeah, all that, you know.
Pick a name, right? You know, they're all pretty much the same organization, the Freemasons, you know, you name it, they're all part of the same blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like there's that and there's the true God. And that's really the only choices we have.
What was the other one? Was that one?
Makes it really simple, you know. But at the same time, the prophecies that he's talking about is, I kind of likened it to when, you know, if you're listening to the evening news, it's not, oh, the cute little Boy Scout helped the little old lady across the street today. It's like, yeah, they don't report that, you know. They don't report that crazy stuff. It's like they report,
yeah.
Oh, my God, somebody bombed and blew up and blah, 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 and this and this. You know, they report the tragic stuff, okay? They report the cataclysmic stuff. And that's what happened with our prophecies, you know, because it went back. There really is a Bible code. It's like this, I made a point of, well, I still don't know if I got his name right, but it's like an Israeli mathematician, Dr. Eliyahu Rip, discovered the Bible code. It's in the Torah. It's in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You take out, they said what they did was they take all those spaces, they take out all the punctuation. They ran together through their supercomputers, and that's how they found. I mean, they said, there's everything. Everything is prophesied and predicted in the first five books of the Bible. It's like hot diggity dog, man. That's pretty amazing. And he went on, he cited some things about, I don't know, the Swift Tuttle Comet and the this and that and the assassination, what was the Israeli prime minister, and assassinated, what was November or something of 1995, 1996 in Tel Aviv. And it told the prime minister's name. It gave the date. It told Tel Aviv, the city. It told, I think it was, I want to say Amir or somebody rather, who the assassin. But he said the fascinating thing is any time there's a cataclysmic occurrence, four words always cross the prophecy, and they are, will you change it? So it's like, so these prophecies were given at a time, you know, said, you know, with the super advent of computers, when we could find this out, our question is, will you change this? And so it leads, you know, and what he's come to the conclusion, he says, you know, even after events have already started, and he cited Dolly, he cited this prayer thing, and in 35 countries, over 100,000 people participated in this prayer vigil, you know, for peace, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, they talked about this, and they said even after it was the United States was, somebody had pushed a button to, you know, to bomb somebody, and they rescinded the order, and they stepped down. They said these people started this, you know, the worldwide, literally in 35 countries, they started this prayer vigil, and it stopped. It just stopped it. So it's like, so even after an event has already started, people through prayer, and he calls it the ancient, you know, the ancient technology of prayer. I was like, oh, this is really cool, because he's taking science and spirituality, and I was like, you know, really, you think about it, God was the best, you know, mathematician, scientist, you know, there ever was, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
You know, and there's obviously nobody more spiritual. So, you know, it's like, so there, you know, science and spirituality can go hand in hand together. There's not a fight. I'm like going, this makes a lot of sense to me, what he says and how.
Well, right. That's what I had been doing on Wednesday nights, is Bible study.
Oh, cool.
And
cool.
So a lot of this we were talking about, like, you know, I believe in God, but I haven't gone to church or Sunday school, Bible study, whatever.
You know,
for a long
what?
Time.
A lot of people haven't, and it's because of the what we call hypocrisy in the churches, is because God
mm-hmm.
doesn't necessarily live in a box. You know,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it does say, you know, to gather together with those of like faith, you know, blah, blah, blah. And more than so, you know, more so as you behold the day coming, you know, drawing near, that's in Hebrews. You know, so it's like we're supposed to be here together to, you know, support each other and help each other, you know, all that stuff, and to get through the times and to pray together. But, you know, that's cool, though. It's like have you ever seen his book? It's called The Isaiah Effect. Have you ever read it or seen
it? I've heard of it, but I have not read it.
Oh,
I've heard of it.
Oh, go get it. It is. It's amazing. And he's got some other ones out. What is it? The Divine Matrix. I'm wading through that one. It's a lot more science techy. dry reading, you know. But it's okay, you know, because I mean, they really get into explaining stuff. And it's Greg Braden, Braden. Greg
Braden.
Yeah, Braden. Braden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's
wow.
Really got some cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, that's cool. But here's my thing. All right. So the reason I haven't gone to, you know, these places, whatever, because I'm not into people telling you what to do.
Right. Exactly.
In other words.
And they shouldn't
have
to. You know. Nobody has the right to judge your relationship with your creator, because that's a free will.
Absolutely.
And God gives that free will.
well, this is it. So I'm going along 12 weeks, you know, later, and, you know, it's good, and I like it because they let you be yourself and this and that. And then all of a sudden, it's called the Cleansing Stream Series. All of a sudden, they're like, well, now you have to throw away your tarot cards and your Ouija board and your idols, you know, like Buddha and whatnot,
right.
You know, and I'm like, what? Excuse me? What? Well, they're all negative and da-da-da-da, and that means you're honoring somebody else besides God or Jesus. I'm like, what? I can't wrap my head around it. And I'm like, wait a minute, doesn't it all just boil down to one thing? We're all God, we're all one, and it's all about love. It just boils down to love. What difference does all that other stuff make? I don't get it.
Oh man, I know there's some stuff there, and it's like, in this one, I would have to sit and really, really take some time to think about that one. I wouldn't want to open my mouth because I'd probably insert my foot and get toe jam.
Yeah. Well, just to me, it's simple. The message is very simple. Love.
Yeah, God is love. God is love, and God,
God
is
love, and we're all part of God. So that's it.
Right. And God is a spirit, and those who worship Him worship the spirit and truth. And actually, I was going through that. I can't remember this was prompted. Oh shoot, earlier conversations or a couple days earlier ago. But it was like, you know, what is God's original purpose? You know, this and that. And I said, okay, you know, so I did. I went back. I read that on air. I was like, okay, back in Genesis 1:1, well, what did He do? It's like, you know, He created the heavens and the earth, you know, and earth was formless and void, blah, blah. In 6 days He created all this stuff. He gave us, really, dietary-wise, God made us vegetarians. Even the beasts of the field, all of them. And there's a prophecy that talks about the lion will eat straw just like the bull. So I'm like going, why did God, you know, you go, why did God create lions with great big, you know, fangs and blah, and then,
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay. But, you know, maybe it's for digging. Maybe they were supposed to have those so they could dig roots or something. I don't know. You know, he obviously had a purpose for him, but it's like, you know, originally he said, you know, it says in there, he gave every good green thing for, you know, for not just humans, but for animals. So we didn't have permission to eat the animals until after the flood of Noah's day. That was when we had permission to eat the animals. It's like, so it was a ways down. So we were created to be vegetarians, and as our teeth will tell us that.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. And, you know, and it was the question about the soul moment. It's like, well, it actually says that animals are souls because, you know, same thing. It's like he made the claymation figures and blew the breath of life into them. So it's like, you know, we are all animated with God's spirit. It's like, you know, he built the clay body for Adam. Oh, that was it. Back on, I keep trying to say Animal Planet. I don't think it was Animal Planet, but earlier this year, it was like February or March of this year, one of those TV shows, I can't remember if it was National Geographic or Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, something like that, but they had this series and they said, we are closer than we think we are. And science had finally DNA traced back and said, we all, everybody on this planet, 6.7 billion people on this planet, came from one man's DNA. And I was like, they finally caught up with the Bible. Cool. And I kind of thought about it, and I said, wait a minute, what happened to Eve? And then it's like the other part of the mind kicked in and went, remember that rib part? It's like she was the exact same DNA as he was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, he's a female. That's right. I forgot about that. You know, so we all literally descended from one man's DNA.
Yeah.
And if you take it forward, there was Noah and his, you know, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and it's like, so there were, you know, eight souls survived through the flood. And then they repopulated from that. But those eight also went back to Adam. You know, so we all originally, you know, everybody on this planet's like, hey, 15,000th cousin, you know.
Yeah, right.
We are all connected to each other in a circle in a hoop that never ends. Pocahontas, you know, I remember that one. Love the song. So we all have that, you know, that spirit, and it's like, and then when we die, it's like, now I know that's in Ecclesiastes, the spirit, you know, the body returns to dust, and the spirit returns to God who gave it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Very distinct separation there. And it's like, and you quit being a soul, because it technically says when he took the clay body and he breathed, you know, the nefesh, the spirit, the ruah, the spirit into it, that's when man became a soul. And that is, you know, the same with the animals. It's like they became a soul when he breathed the breath of life into them. So we are only a soul as long as we are joined in the physical body and the spirit. It's like when the body and the, you know, spirit separate, we're no longer, quote, a soul. So I'm like going, okay, people have so much, you know, with this. I'm like going, well, okay. And I don't know, you know, it's like, do you have a soul? Are we talking S-O-L-E? Which, you know, I mean, you know, we can make a lot of puns on the annex with semantics, you know. But, you know, it's just like, you know, it's like we are what we are. We are God's creation. We are all God's children. We are all God's children. And we
right,
are all
exactly.
Related.
Yeah,
it's just some of these kids in the sandbox aren't playing very nice.
Yeah, right.
So, I want to change that. I pray daily to change that one.
Yep.
Me too. Yeah, exactly. I'm going.
Yeah. I'm gonna get today. I have to get up super early tomorrow to a meeting.
Oh, wow. All righty. Well, I will let you get to bed, because it's 7:25 here. It's like it's 9:25 your time.
Yeah.
I let you go have that bubble bath by the candlelight and kind of, you know, relax and chill. You know?
Oh yeah, it's been a rough day, a really rough day.
Well, energy wise, now you know why. So maybe, you know, maybe in your traipsings around, it's like, you know, you can find out what that. But the Mercury, Venus, and Saturn thing, they made a point of it, though. It was in alignment over the pyramids of Giza. So I'm like going, there's something with the pyramids of Giza and the alignment of the planets, blah, blah. What does this signify? Do we have to go to the Egyptian stuff to find this? It's like, what in the world do we have to, you know, to figure that out? So I don't know.
Right. I don't know. I'll try to look into it if I can, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know if you'll have time, you know, before tomorrow night's show, but it's like, maybe the next Wednesday, I'll say, hey, what'd you find? Here's what I found. Dialing and compare notes. Anyway, well, thanks for coming on. It's like, well, now that I know, it's like, because Jethro told me, he says, well, Venus is going to come on with me on, you know, on Thursdays. It's like, you know, kind of like you're on your own on Wednesdays. It's like, thanks. Thank you, Jethro. Appreciate that. But I'm glad you called in. I'm so glad you called in. I got to see your cards. That was really cool.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, well, you'll have to call in on a Thursday.
I will.
Get a three-way going.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I will listen to you and get on with
Have a good night.
Today, tomorrow. You too.
Yeah.
Stop that drink. That's my 10-year-old. He just apparently ran down the hall and winded him.
Oh, that's cute.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
What are you doing here? Walking down to the gas station?
Who did what?